Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, and we're going to study them again. Study them all week, as a matter of fact. And the reason is there are a great many things that need to be said about prayer. Christians today are generally not praying enough anyway, and this is to encourage you and me to pray more. John chapter 16, let's read our text, verses 23 and 24. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Today what we want to look at is the commands. Yesterday we looked at the conditions of prayer. Today we want to look at the commands on prayer, or prayer commands. In other words, there are some things that God Almighty has commanded you and commanded me to do. And what you want to do is you want to find out how you are dealing with your commander. You know, he is the commander-in-chief of the universe, God Almighty is. And, you know, when you're told by your boss to do something, if you're a faithful employee, you'll do it. And if you are a faithful spouse and your husband tells you to do something, you'll do it. And if you're a faithful child and your father or mother tells you to do something, you'll do it. And if you're a faithful soldier and your superior officer tells you to do something, you'll do it. And on that goes. That's a system of authority that is built into life in general. If you're a faithful patient and your doctor tells you to do something for your health, to improve your health, you'll do it. Likewise, if you're a faithful Christian and God Almighty tells you to do something, you will do it if you're faithful. Now, what it is that will encourage you in this message, what it is that will encourage me in this message is this. What did God command us to do about prayer? Now, honestly, if you're not a faithful spouse, if you're not a faithful employee, if you're not a faithful student, if you're not a faithful child, if you're not a faithful soldier, if you're not a faithful Christian, if you're not a faithful Christian, patient, whatever you are and wherever you are, if you're not faithful to do what you're told, if you're of a rebellious nature, what I'm going to tell you today is not going to make any difference to you, because you don't care what God commands you to do, you're not going to do it anyway. But if you're faithful and if you are concerned about what God Almighty would have you to do, then hearing these commands will be an encouragement to you, because you'll know exactly what it is that God expects of you, what he has commanded you to do, and you'll do it. And that's our hope today, is that when we preach this, we're preaching to faithful Christians who want to know what it is that God would have them to do so that they can do it. And I hope that you will do it. Now, the first thing, and these are not in any particular order, that God Almighty commands you to do, is to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. This is a command. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing, period. Pray without ceasing, period. Now, wait a minute. This isn't a suggestion. This is just as important as the Ten Commandments were to the Jews in the wilderness. He said, thou shalt not steal. That was a commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like thereunto, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Commandment, not suggestion. Thou shalt not kill. Commandment. See? In the New Testament, you have commandments. People say, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You're absolutely right, but you still have certain commandments. You know, the greatest liberty that you and I enjoy is when we're doing what we're told to do. Because then you know you have absolute perfect freedom to do that within what you're told to do, and you don't have to worry about it. You know why children are so rebellious today? Parents are reluctant to lay down rules for them. There's less discipline in school today than there was when we were in school years ago. And consequently, the children are more rebellious today because they're not any happier. As a matter of fact, they're more constrained because they don't know when the rug's going to get pulled on them. Back in our day, we knew what the rules were, and as long as we were within the rules, we had perfect liberty within those rules to do anything we wanted to. and knew we weren't going to get any trouble for it. We knew that we were absolutely within our right to do it because we were within the rules. Now, he said, here's a rule for you. Here is a commandment for you. Pray without ceasing. That's a command. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 is not a suggestion. Look in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, if you want to hear it from the lips of your Savior. Luke chapter 18, verse 1, this is a commandment. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. There you go. That's what you ought to do. Any man can do what he ought to. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. You want to see it one more time? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Here's Paul the apostle putting that command in practice. He didn't tell you to do something he wasn't willing to do himself. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. So he was fulfilling the command that he laid down under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You're to pray without ceasing. Well, that's an interesting thing, because undoubtedly you'll pray over your meals. That'll take you 10 seconds before you bring the fork to your mouth. Maybe 15 seconds. Maybe 30 seconds. All right, you'll pray when you get up in the morning. Thank God for a good night's rest and, bless our day and a few other things like that. That may take you 2 to 5 minutes. And you'll pray before you go to sleep at night, another 2 to 5 minutes. So, doing pretty good. 10.5, 12, 15 minutes a day, you're in prayer. And he said, pray without ceasing. So what do you think? Are you keeping up with what he said to do? He said, Brother Welder, it'd be impossible to do what we have to do today and keep praying. But you know something, honestly, we all need help in this area, okay? But I'm telling you what he said because it's a command of God. You can pray while you're behind the wheel of cars. Matter of fact, you ought to pray. The way traffic is today, you ought to be in prayer behind the wheel of your car. You can pray behind the wheel of your car. You can pray while you walk. You can pray while you'll exercise. You like to go down to the gym or take a walk in your neighborhood or walk your dog or do the treadmill in your house or whatever. You can pray. You can pray. You sure can. Now, if you got a bad habit of secret sin, you know, doing things that other people don't know you're doing, and really, there are a lot of Christians who do. The internet is one of the most terrible places for secret sin, secret visual sin or audible sin. You know, participating in things you ought not to see and reading things you ought not to be reading and so forth and so on. Unsupervised attendance at the internet, you know, bad deal. It's hard to remember that God Almighty sees everything when you're doing that. But you know something? That's a time you're not going to be able to pray. You ought to be able to pray when you're in church. Pray on your way to church. Pray when you leave church. Pray on your way to church. God, give that preacher something to say today that will help me and edify me and draw me closer to Jesus Christ. And on your way out, Father, help me to apply those things that I've learned so that my life can be more conformed to your life. You know, all that kind of stuff. You pray in the grocery store. You ought to pray in the grocery store and keep from buying things you and I don't need. Pray over major decisions. Pray over minor decisions. Pray over your health. Pray over your finances. Pray over your spouse. Pray over your kids. Pray over your obedience to Christ. Pray over your friends that are lost. Pray over those that are saved. Pray over those that are sick. Pray over those that are in the hospital. You know, by the time you get to thinking about it, there's a lot of stuff you can pray about all day long. In other words, you ought to be in such a relationship with the Lord where you're able to talk to Him freely at any moment of the day and talk to Him regularly. Without ceasing, he said. That's a command. How you doing on the commands of God so far? Here's the second one. He said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Look in Matthew chapter 26 at verse 41. Watch and pray. Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, he told the disciples, watch and pray, that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now that's true of us too, because we are inundated with things that create temptation. Whatever areas of weakness you have where sin really has a hold on you, you need to watch and pray. You need to be observant. Do you know yourself well enough to know the areas of greatest sin weakness? Now, I'm not talking about the big old visual sin that everybody else can see, you know. I'm talking about that inside stuff, that envy, that pride, that jealousy, those kind of things that nobody else, that malice, that hatred, that bitterness, that anger, that wrath, that clamoring, that inside stuff, that lust that's on the inside that nobody else can see? Do you know have you examined yourself well enough before God Almighty to know the areas where your flesh and spirit are tempted to go into sin real quick? And when you pray, do you watch for that area of temptation to keep yourself from running into those areas? You got to know what they are. You may not want to admit it. Most people like to deny those things, but you ought to know what they are so you can watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. It's one of the greatest ways to stay out of trouble with sin is not to get into it, to avoid it when the temptation arises. Look in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, look at verse 36. Watch and pray. Luke 21, verse 36. It's a command from God. The Lord said, "Watch ye therefore and pray always." See, it's a command. "Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." So you got to keep your eyes open when you pray. I don't mean pray necessarily with your eyes open, but I'm saying be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. You got to pay attention to what's going on around you. You got to pay attention to opportunities where you can talk to lost souls about Jesus Christ. You got to be paying attention to places where your flesh and your spirit are weakened by and defiled by this world. You've got to be watching for attacks from the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watching thereunto with all perseverance. Keep your eyes open for opportunities to pray. And that means that you're an observant Christian. You're not just going through this life, passing along willy-nilly through life without understanding where you fit in what God would have you to do today. And I remember talking recently with a student, and when she was on her campus, college campus, she would watch and pray, watching for opportunities to talk to the professors there about the Lord Jesus Christ, taking a stand in conviction over certain things in the Bible that are right. A book was assigned that had some lewd stuff in it, and she went to the professor and said, "This is a particular class where we've got certain things we need to do. And I can have this level of testing for this particular class with certainly a lot better reading material than this. I don't want to read this book. Give me another book to read." You know something? That professor did that for her. He really did. She didn't have to read the lewd material. She got to read something that was better for her. Why? She was on the lookout. She was watching. Watching and praying. Watching and praying. That way you're not just totally, you know, just walking through life like the ball on a pinball machine. You're paying attention to areas where you can make a difference and where you can stop the work of sin easily. Some parents, for instance, in watching and praying, have recognized that in their particular area, that sending their kids off to certain kinds of school would not be beneficial to them at all. And so in watching, they said, "We're going to make changes in our lives where we can train these kids at home." Watching and praying. Watching and praying. Keep your eyes open. The Lord's doing things. Keep your eyes open. How's He going to direct you if you don't know where you're going? And how are you going to know where you're going if you're not looking? Say, we live by faith and not by sight. That's true, but keep your eyes open, because there are opportunities all around you. Opportunities to proclaim Christ and opportunities to fall into sin. You got to pay attention. Be sober. Be vigilant. On the lookout, like a sentry. See, this is a warfare. Next thing he said about command and prayer, not only to pray without ceasing and to watch and pray, but he said, don't worry. Don't worry. Now, we all have trouble with this at some point in time, but Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." One of the great reasons that our society is so inundated with stress today is that people worry. And one of the reasons people worry is because marketers have learned the fear tactics. You are going to have something bad happen to you if you don't buy my product, come to my conference, do my thing. That's the way people are. They threaten you. I've got, just as a matter of fact, just before I got ready to make this radio broadcast today, I happened to look at a flyer that came into the mail, and it had to do with something to help churches out. And that guy, from cover to cover, in a very slick, polished, full-color, 8-page flyer, had nothing in there but fear tactics. Fear tactics. If you don't do this, this could happen to you. If you don't do that, that could happen to you. And look at this stuff, and look at these people that have attended my conference. And you know what they're doing? They're trying to scare you to death so you'll pay money to keep them in business. That's the way insurance agents make money. That's the way banks make money. That's the way investment advisors make money. That's the way a lot of people make money. They play on fear, and the Lord said, don't worry. And it's a very difficult thing not to worry, not to be concerned for your kids, not to be concerned for your health, not to be concerned for your spouse, not to be concerned for your household and all that other kind of stuff. We are definitely people that are concerned about those things. But he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's a command not to worry. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Listen, man, it's hard enough to get through life just this day without having to concern yourself with what's going to happen tomorrow, or certainly what concerning yourself with what happened yesterday. Now, the old-time preacher, I think it was John Wesley, but I'm not sure, but it was one of the old-time preachers that said, worry is a sin. And so he allotted himself about 10 minutes in the day to worry. He said, I'm not going to waste my time worrying all day long and being unproductive. So sometime during the day, whenever it was, he would take this little time and he would sit there and think about a few things that concerned him, and he'd worry on them for about 10 minutes and then he'd let them go. Well, you know, that takes a lot of mental and emotional and spiritual discipline to do that. But listen, folks, we're not doing ourselves any good to worry over things that we've talked to God Almighty about that we've left in His hands. If we put those things in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, He can take care of them better than we can, and He will take care of them if we talk to Him about it. And nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about at all. Worry is the advanced interest on trouble that never comes. And why pay for a debt on something that doesn't do you any good? Let the thing go. Talk to God. When you find yourself prone to worry over a thing, talk to God. Talk to God and get encouragement from Him and let the thing go. It's a command. Be careful for nothing. So now already you've heard three commands. Pray without ceasing. Watch and pray. And then He says, don't worry. No, don't worry. And another thing is pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Far too often, Christians will come to the Lord, and they'll, oh my God, pray out some deal. You need to do such and such. I'm in desperation, oh God. Listen, I don't mean to make fun of people who have had to come to the Lord like that in desperation. I've had to do it. But some people, that's all they ever do, is come back to the Lord again and 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 again. My God, I need. Oh my God, oh my God. How about, God, I need you to take care of this and thank you for dealing with it. And then when you've seen the thing come to completion, thank God publicly, privately in prayer, with thanksgiving. People are far too needy and far too ungrateful these days. Got to thank God continuously. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's a command with thanksgiving. So you remember to be thanking God all the way through that stuff when you're praying. And God Almighty take care of you. All right. Pray without ceasing. Watch and pray. Don't worry. And pray with thanksgiving. Next thing, no vain repetitions. No vain repetitions. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7. Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, prayer, command. Don't pray with a bunch of vain repetitions. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. Avoid all that stuff. Every church type has its vain repetition. You just listen to them pray for a while, and then you go down to another church that's of that type and listen to them pray. You'll hear some patterns in there that are just the vain repetition. It seems to just travel through that particular church. Listen, God is not interested in vain repetitions. And I'll tell you, the most vain, repetitious thing you can do is pray a rosary. You say, well, brother, well, you don't need to pick on our particular church. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you, when you go and say 50 times a Hail Mary, and she can't even answer your prayers, and she cannot intercede for you, you are wasting your time. Period. It's a total vain repetition. You think you'll be heard for your much talking. A novena is even more nonsense. It's nothing more than a hocus-pocus superstition, hope to get something. Don't do that. Don't do that. See these guys riding around, they got a rosary hanging off the rearview mirror. What's that? That's a good luck charm. It's superstition. That's all it is. That's a vain repetition. Listen, Jesus Christ went to his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, take this cup away from me. But not my will, yours be done. He went back and he prayed that the second time, and he went back and he prayed the same words the third time. He was repetitious, but he wasn't vain. After the third time, he gave it up and said, okay, I asked three times, he didn't do it, I'm done with it. Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 had a thorn in the flesh, a minister of Satan to buffet him that he wouldn't be lifted up in pride. Three times he besought the Lord to take that thorn from him, and the Lord didn't do it. What did he do? He quit praying about it. Because he realized after that it would be a vain repetition, and he let the thing go. So he said, well, I've got a lost relative. There's nothing vain about praying for the lost. You're not going to hurt yourself one bit being repetitious, going to God Almighty's throne and asking him to take care of a lost soul and keep on dealing with him. There's nothing vain about getting a soul out of hell, but when you know you've come up to something God's not going to change, like Paul's thorn in the flesh or Jesus Christ going to the cross, it's not going to do you any good to keep on talking to God about a thing like that. That's a command of the Lord, not vain repetitions. I'll give you another one. His words have to abide in you. You've got to keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. If you're not doing things that are pleasing to God Almighty and not keeping his commandments, you're going to have a terrible prayer life. So he said, well, we're not under the law anymore. There are all kinds of commandments for Christians. There were two of them listed right there in the text in the next verse, if you look at it. This is his commandment. We should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. And all that way, if you're not loving everybody, I'm talking about all these saved folks that you call brothers and sisters in Christ, you got a grudge, you got something, your prayer life is going to stink. I'm just telling you what he said. In John chapter 15, verse 7, he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done for you. A guy that isn't reading his Bible, the words of God are not abiding in him, that's not doing what God told him to do. He said, be ye doers of the word, not hearers of your only, deceiving your own selves. He's going to have a terrible prayer life. If you don't believe, just go ask him. I've dealt with lots of folks, and so have you, backslidden Christians, trying to get right with God, and the one thing you see that is characteristic across the board is the prayer life has gone out of the window. You know what preceded it? They quit doing what God told them to do. There you go. It's proven by experience, and it's in the Word of God. A command from the Lord God, those words have got to abide in you. You got to do what you're told to do and please God. Here's another one. Pray for others. That's a command. Pray for others. It's much easier to pray for yourself because you can think of a million things you want. Much harder to pray for others because you got to get to know them well and figure out what it is they need so you can pray to God Almighty about it. But the Lord said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. That's what he told you to do. Pray for your government. Pray for your governmental and political leaders and mayor of your city and all that other kind of stuff. And offer up supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men. I'd keep you busy. You got to pray for others. That's a command from God Almighty. How you doing? These are hard messages to preach because they're reflective of all of us. You know what I mean? But it's an encouragement at the same time because we realize we all need to be doing these things that God told us to do. Pray without ceasing. Watch and pray. Don't worry. Pray with thanksgiving. Don't use vain repetitions. Do what you're told and pray for others. Those are commands. Those are commands from God. All right, here's another one. You ready? Here's another one. With importunity, Luke 11, verses 8 to 9. That's a woman that goes over there and she's trying to get some bread. And in Luke chapter 11, verses 8 and 9, I say to you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. This is a friend here that had, he said, lend me three loaves. Got somebody that came to stay with me, I don't have anything to feed him. He said, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Importunity is, you're not going to be lazy in your prayer life. Importunity is, you get up there and you get a hold of God and you hold on to God and don't let go till God does something for you. That's different than the vain repetitions in that it's not vanity. It's for something that's of most importance, and you got God Almighty, and you're holding on to Him and begging Him till He bring the thing through for you. Jacob was wrestling with God out there before he met Esau, and he would not let go till the day breaketh. He would not let go till he knew God had blessed him. He wasn't about to face Esau till he knew that God was going to protect him. Insistent urging is importunity. And then finally this, you got to pray sometimes with fasting. Jesus Christ came down from the Mount of Transfiguration. The disciples that were still left down there couldn't cast the devil out of a young boy. They asked the Lord, why couldn't we cast the devil out of him? And he said, because this kind cometh not forth but by prayer and fasting. They prayed and fasted before they sent out the missionaries. Same thing. Sometimes you got to get a hold of God, and the only way you're going to do it is by fasting. Esther did it. She said, we're going to have to fast and pray. I'll tell you somebody else that did it. Esther did it, and then Daniel did it, trying to get an understanding from God. It really afflicted his soul. Jesus Christ did in the wilderness, 40 days and 40 nights. So did Moses. There are times, sometimes, you're just going to have to forsake all of the good, fun donuts and cookies of life, and you're going to have to spend time in prayer with the Lord God. There's no other way around it. These are commands from God Almighty in prayer. Pray without ceasing. How you doing? Watch and pray. How you doing? Don't worry. How you doing? Pray with thanksgiving. You doing all right there? Don't use vain repetitions. Do what you're told. Pray for others. Pray with importunity. That is, stay on it urgently till you can get through. And sometimes you're going to have to pray with fasting. You have to push away from the table. I'll tell you what, Americans, for the most part, could do real good in that. It wouldn't hurt you a bit to push away from the table and pray and get a hold of God. Now, those are commands from the Lord God. And the question is, what are you going to do? That's what He's told you to do. And the question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to follow what your commander told you to do? We pray that you will. That's our intention, is to do what He said.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.